If you're interested in attending Catholic worship, come consider the 10 o'clock a.m. Mass at St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts. We're located just four blocks up from Soldiers Field Road at 43 Holton Street. You can check out our website at stanthonyallston.org. That's stanthonyallston.org. And come to the 10 o'clock Mass and experience our chanted Liturgy of the Eucharist every Sunday. Let us offer our prayer to the Holy Spirit in this time between the Ascension and Pentecost. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Well, today we are looking at Thursday of the seventh week of Easter. And again, we are on the precipice of going right into Pentecost, which is the great feast. Now, if you remember the traditional calendar, and some people may be listening, may be following the traditional calendar, everything was based on Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. So I've talked to you about the seasons we have in the church. So we have Christmas season, we have Ordinary Time, we have Easter, and we have the Triduum, which is the shortest season, and in Lent and Advent. Well, in the other calendar, I think you had Advent. Well, no, you did. You had Advent and you had Lent, but you also had, instead of Ordinary Time, so many weeks after Christmas, so many weeks after Easter, and so many weeks after Pentecost. So the largest element of Ordinary Time we have in our calendar is from Pentecost Sunday, which, by the way, the last Mass on Pentecost, the way that's supposed to be celebrated is when the Mass is over. And this isn't necessarily the most safest thing to do, so you have to check with your pastor whether or not he's going to do that. Someone carries the Easter candle out of the church, indicating that the Easter season has ended. So you realize the Easter candle is burning all through Mass, therefore you have a lot of melted wax. You have to be really careful how you carry it. And, you know, some priests may say, no, we're not going to do that. Safety is always an issue. But that is actually the way it's supposed to be done. And obviously the candle has to be removed from the stand, so you don't carry the entire stand. Some of those stands can weigh hundreds of pounds. So no, you don't want to do that. But you take the candle out of the stand and you carry it out of the church, being careful not to spill the wax on whoever's carrying it. So that's important. But that's how you are supposed to end Pentecost, indicating the end of the Easter season. And as I said, in the old way, it was done where from that point on, it would be so many weeks after Pentecost. But immediately Monday after Easter, unless we have, I don't have the calendar in front of me, unless we have a feast or a solemnity or a required memorial, we go right into Ordinary Time. So it will be, I'm not sure what week it is. I probably actually can trace that pretty quickly here. Let me do this real quick. Is the seventh, we're going to go into the seventh week of Ordinary Time on Monday. In the old calendar, it would be essentially the Monday after Pentecost, and Sunday, the following Sunday, if it wasn't Holy Trinity Sunday, it would be the first week after Pentecost, the first Sunday and then the second Sunday, all the way until after Thanksgiving. But in the post-Vatican II calendar, it's called Ordinary Time, which, as I always tell you every year, is my favorite season of the year. I love Ordinary Time. Well, getting to the reading that we have today, this is the famous reading where St. Paul makes a very simple statement in court in front of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he causes them to fight with each other, so much so that the court soldiers have to move him out of the court because the Pharisees and the Sadducees are fighting with each other. And it's all over whether or not there is such a thing as eternal life. And this is the whole point of what Paul is teaching, what Jesus is saying. And so what he's saying in regards to this issue of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, and with that, the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, and the Pharisees, who did, start to fight, because they're arguing over whether or not the Pharisees and the, you know, which side is correct, and it turns into a war. Could something happen like that today? Not in regards to eternal life, but again, you have these factions in the church, and then you have another set of factions in Christianity where people may become so hot that they start fighting, and you have to turn around and say, that's ridiculous. And that's exactly what people who aren't Christian point to and say, see, we told you. You know, a good example of that within the church is you may have people arguing back and forth over whether or not they agree with the Pope. And as I've said, you know, if you don't necessarily agree with the Pope, the only thing the Pope says that is infallible has to do with issues of faith and morals. And he speaks ex cathedra, which means from the chair. This Pope hasn't done anything ex cathedra. So he obviously is the Pope, so you take very seriously what he has to say. But there are people that may disagree with what he says or whatever. That doesn't make them no longer Catholic, but it does lead everyone to say, well, I want to think through what he says, and I'm not going to dismiss it out of hand. A good example of this is the Pope has made it clear that Catholics can no longer believe in the death penalty. Now, we have all kinds of people who step up and say, no, we support the death. And I've never understood this, because I've never been for the death penalty. But they're all, you know, saying, oh, no, and they're standing up for it, and they really, whatever. It sounds like there was some writer the other day says, I know you claim this is what it sounds like to someone else. But it's not. It sounds like they're just like joyfully dancing that people are being executed. And they say, no, that's not where we're coming from. But if you can say something about the death penalty in the right crowd, and you'll see that kind of fight happen back and forth. I personally have always been against the death penalty because I believe you are taking away from someone the chance to be converted, to repent, and to reach eternal life. And the church has a whole story about one particular person named Alessandro Serinelli, who was exactly in that position. He committed a great crime and ended up killing someone who eventually became known as Saint Maria Goretti. And it was a terrible crime he committed, and people wanted, and Saint Maria Goretti was 12 years old at the time, people wanted him murdered, but he ended up doing 40 years in prison. And he had a tremendous conversion experience where he believed that Saint Maria Goretti appeared to him, and ultimately she was canonized, and he was invited, or after he got out of prison, he became a Franciscan monk, and he was invited to her canonization. Very powerful story, and he's one of the examples of why I'm against the death penalty. And one of the things that he said, and this is an important message for us today, what led him to commit his crime was he got lost in pornography. And he described the danger of pornography. Fascinating story. And where would we be if he was assassinated or executed prior to his conversion experience? So we see that But we do know that there are elements in the church that can fight back and forth intensely over an issue like that. And so is it possible that what we see in today's reading, where St. Paul is talking about, just simply mentions the hope of the resurrection, and you have these two groups get into such a fight that he has to be moved for his own protection to someplace else? Yes, absolutely. Oh, sure. I mean, I've never seen any fight break out that intensely, but you can clearly see it online, and you can see, and it's something that I try to stay away from, but you see these snide comments from people online back and forth, and you're saying, you know, these people do not reflect what we truly believe as Christians. I mean, all Catholics are Christians. Not all Christians are Catholics, but we're still, as Catholics, Christians. And yet they're acting in a way that clearly we say is not Christian online. And that's something that really reflects back to, number one, what we see in today's reading, and number two, should lead people to say, why are we saying what we're saying online? It's a very interesting reflection that we can build upon from what we see in the reading and what we see in our own world today. Fascinating story where we see that whole thing where St. Paul, who was all about the resurrection, and remember his whole story in 1 Corinthians 15, where he talks about clearly the resurrection is real. And he basically said, if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, then ultimately his point was, then we have no hope of the resurrection. But he said, if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, then we're wasting our time. And he was executed for maintaining and holding on to that position. Very powerful, powerful reality that we're looking in the reading today and understanding it's all about the resurrection. So when people say Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, and maybe they'll say, but I'm still a believer in Jesus. No, you're not. You're a believer in Jesus like many people are believers in Socrates. The whole key with Jesus is the resurrection, and this is what starts the fight between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We'll talk more tomorrow. Have a blessed day. I want to call your attention to Catholic TV, which offers great faith-filled, family-friendly programming 24 hours a day. You can find your cable channel at www.getcatholictv.com, and you can watch online, on the free apps, or check out the YouTube channel. Daily Mass, Rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Novena are all available online and on demand. Check out CatholicTV.com. Remember, when you're looking for a place to attend Mass, and if you don't already attend Mass at your local parish, come to St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. We're located at 43 Holton Street in Alston, just a few blocks up from Soldiers Field Road. And you can check us out. Come to our 10 o'clock a.m. Mass and come to experience our Catholic worship at St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts.